Amen, amen, amen. That's really good stuff. So how do we get to do that good stuff? Pass those baskets. So got the guys passing the baskets through there right now. And a lot of this all the things that the church does is afforded through guys like you. And we do have some outside help, but we need every dime that you got, that you can afford to put in. You know what? God will bless you abundantly more. John, his dad always said, and I was just talking to somebody just the other day about this, that a blessing had just occurred in this man's life. He had given something away, and in return he got double. And I said, that's just how it works. John's dad said, I got this big old shovel, and I keep shoveling it out. And I turned around, and God's standing there with a shovel twice the size. And so that's just how this thing works, man. I want to introduce to you guys John. There's probably just a couple in here that don't know who he is. He's the actual founder of Serenity Church. But a month ago, 40 days ago, he delivered a message and challenged us to 40 days of prayer. He preaches in Decatur now at Oak Grove Methodist Church, and they were in on it as well. And so we've been praying this prayer for 40 days, and he's here to bring a message to wrap that up, but also to challenge you to keep moving forward in your prayer life. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce this guy, but come on up, John, and I'm going to say a prayer, and then we'll get right into it. Oh, Lord in heaven, I thank you for this man. I thank you for everything that he is. I thank you for his willingness to keep standing before people, even when he says he's retired. Lord, we love you, and make the words that come out of his mouth today fall on ears that receive it well and continue to grow and have relationships with you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hello, Serenity Church. Yeah. My name is John, and I'm a very grateful recovering drug addict and alcoholic. And by the grace of God, I have not had to get high or get drunk all day long today. Thank you. And for 14,057 days that led up to today, by the grace of God, I'm an overcomer. And he has done for me what I couldn't even start to begin to hope to do for myself, and I'm grateful. I'm going to have to ask you to bear with me tonight. My favorite thing, one of my favorite things in the whole world is March and April in Texas. And the blue bonnets and the Indian paintbrushes and the beautiful days and the lovely weather. I love spring in Texas. Spring in Texas hates me. I usually spend those 2 months coughing and gagging and snorting and sniffling, and this spring is no exception. Last night, I was up almost all night trying to cough a lung up from somewhere. Finally, about 2 o'clock this morning, I got up, and because I really, really love the beautiful woman that I sleep beside, I got up and found myself on the couch last night so she could sleep. Bear with me. I would have promised you when I woke up this morning that there was no way I could croak out enough words to stand up here tonight, but I begged God, and let's just see what he can do. He's a whole lot better at that stuff than I am. We've had an adventure in prayer, haven't we? Oh, that's great. Four of us have had. Man, if I don't want amens, I can get that from the Methodists, you know. There you go. We have had an adventure in prayer, haven't we? Yes, we have. And what remarkable things have happened. I hear every little bit from somebody who said, you will not believe what's happened as a result of my praying for this and this and this. And yes, I do believe. Because God does that to me absolutely every time.
Come on.
What a gift. What a gift. We've been praying, Father, please show us what we're missing. And Father, please give us what we're missing. Heal us. Heal our minds and hearts and bodies through Christ.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you, but as happens, we've done this before as a family. As always happens, as the 40 days progress, my prayers morph. My prayers become what I just prayed, and then on the next beat, I find myself saying, God, thank you for showing us what we're missing. Thank you for giving us what we're missing. Thank you, God, for healing our hearts and minds and bodies through Christ. And then it got personal for me as the weeks progressed. I began on the next bead to pray, God, please show me what I'm missing. Please give me what I'm missing. Please heal my mind and heart and body through Christ. Father, thank you for showing me what I've been missing. Thank you. It's been a wonderful, wonderful adventure, but I'm telling you, that's the last time you will hear me address this experience in the past tense.
Come on.
This was never intended to be a 40-day thing.
Amen.
What we have meant all along, what we were reaching for all along was a transformation in us.
Amen.
To become that kind of relentlessly, I don't know, can we say shamelessly audacious? Shamelessly audacious prayer warriors.
Amen. Amen.
So where do we go from here? I'm glad you asked. I've got a couple of answers to that question. You need a bulletin and a pen. Does everybody have a bulletin and a pen and a Bible? If you're missing those in your hand, raise your hand. And Logan, my not disgusting looking assistant, will take care of all of your Bible studying note taking needs. And, of course, the lovely and talented Joe. And then let's turn together to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading in verse 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? I guess we could stop there, couldn't we? Yeah, let's find out where that leads to, Michael. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well.
Amen.
The Lord will raise them up. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. You know I'm going to like the next part.
Come on.
Therefore.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. Because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You know, I don't think in my lifetime I've ever met the maturing child of God who was satisfied with their prayerfulness.
Right.
I don't know if I've ever talked to anybody who says, you know, I'm just wearing myself out because all I ever do is pray, you know. Satisfied with their prayerfulness, or convinced, any of us really, that we are constantly maintaining, as we say in our circles of recovery, our conscious contact with God. Now, open your bulletin to the inside right-hand side. There's some things I want you to take home and remember for the days and weeks ahead. And here's the first of it. Most of us are remarkably prayerful when we need something. And we can pretty much take it or leave it when we don't. Did I step on toes? I'm sorry. God has called us to walk behind Him in the most remarkable adventure on planet Earth. He has invited us to share the most exhilarating adventure this world has to offer. And if we really, truly do believe that, if we believe that we have a walk of faith and that God is the author of our great adventure, we'd be more prayerful. I'm not sure that we always really believe that. If we expect God to do great things in our lives, our churches, and our families, prayer is the power that fuels that.
Amen.
Prayer is the power that will cause that to happen. Write this. God has called us to pray constantly.
Yes.
To pray continuously. What does that mean? Does that mean I can't stop and eat or sleep? All I can do is pray? What that means is that I never allow a break in my connection to heaven. I never allow there to be a gap in my relationship with the eternal. Heaven connecting to me and me connecting to heaven. And it means there is a time in my life that belongs to God and nobody else.
Amen.
Now that's been the power of our prayer bead season. When I reach and take those beads in my hand and begin to connect to God, I know that for a fact I have a chapter of my day right there that belongs to God and nobody else. Let me tell you something else. If we only pray when we feel like it, if we're only prayerful when it just spontaneously bubbles up out of somewhere deep in our souls, great pieces of our lives are going to be prayerless.
Yeah. Amen.
Because the enemy is going to see to it that those times don't happen.
That's right. Amen.
The enemy is going to step in and do anything in his power to keep that from being our truth. Why are we not people of ceaseless prayer? Well, several answers to that. Write this one down. Maybe deep down, we don't believe what he said. We don't believe it. Now, I grew up in churches that were, as a group, scared to death of the supernatural.
Yeah, right.
I grew up in churches that were terrified of the miraculous. I was taught in Sunday school. I was taught from pulpits. It was drilled into me by the churches of my growing up that God no longer does miracles for people like he did back then. That the movement of God is something he used to do. When God would move to change the course of history and nature, in fact, we were given a specific time when we knew it stopped. It stopped with the death of the last apostle. That's what I was taught in Sunday school growing up. When the last apostle died, miraculous direct supernatural movement of God among his children stopped. He just doesn't do that kind of stuff anymore. And because then to us, God was not a maker of miracles and a worker of wonders, then what the heck was the purpose of prayer?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I remember as a kid, I would listen to the old men get up, and it was always on men because women were not allowed to say anything in those rooms. Another story for another time. I can remember the old men that would get up and they'd pray these deep prayers. Oh God, guide, guard, and direct our lives. And then the preacher would get up and explain to us in great detail why God is not going to guide, guard, or direct. I can remember the churches of my youth praying for sick people.
Why?
Why? If we don't believe that God is a worker of wonders and a doer of miracles, what was the purpose of prayer? Write this down. Pure selfishness keeps us from prayer.
Back on the toes.
Oh, God hears from me big when I'm in trouble. God hears from me faithfully when I need something from him. I have, for better or worse, I have been my entire life a news junkie. I'm trying to reform because there's nothing happy on the news that's going to improve my day. You in a good mood and want to change that? Flip on the news for a few minutes. That'll snap you out of it.
Right.
I was probably the only guy in my dorm in college who subscribed to both Time and Newsweek and read them both cover to cover every week. I'm just a guy that wants to know what's going on all the time. I remember years ago, I was reading through an article in Time magazine about a wave of tornadoes that had torn across the Midwest. And the reporter interviewed those who had survived that, and it was the most perfect snapshot of so much of my prayer life. Quoting them, one of them said, "Well, I know one thing. I'm going to be at church every Sunday from now on."
Right?
And another one said, "The roof caved in on me. I stuck my hand out of the debris hoping somebody would find me. And all night I just prayed, 'Get me out of this, God, and I'll be a different man going forward.'" How many of us have prayed those prayers? You know what I'm talking about. God, you'll hear from me when I'm a mess, when I'm sick, when the bottom has fallen out of my world, when someone I love has been lost, or we find ourselves back in jail again. Not that that is an experience that anybody in this room has ever had. We wait for the bottom to drop out, and then God really hears from us consistently. Write this down. Sometimes we're just waiting for the world to crash in. Somebody I love is desperately sick. I've lost my job. I don't know what to do. He's got my attention for that period of time until it all levels back out, and then I don't really have time for that nonsense. Every great man and woman of God, every one lived a life saturated with prayer that celebrated the good and prepared for the bad. I love reading the prayers of the prophet Daniel. He said, 3 times a day, I got down on my knees and prayed. Did that make a difference for Daniel? I believe he was prepared. When he was going to need that power, it was already tapped into.
Amen.
I love the words of King David. He said, I called on God and I said, Lord, save me. And the Lord saved me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cried out in my distress, and he heard my voice.
Right.
Write this. God has called us to pray constantly. Here's a tough one. God has called us to pray honestly. I know.
Back on those toes,
Michael. I got those toes covered. Pray honestly. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews is the book right before James where we started. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account.
Right.
Yikes. Yikes.
Oops.
Now, you you old-time Serenitarians have heard me mention this repeatedly because it is a recurring trauma from my childhood. You know where I'm going, don't you, Trina?
Oh, yeah.
A great trauma from my childhood. There was a hymn in our... stop it, Michael. There was a hymn in the hymn books in our churches that we sang often. And every time I hear those words, I hear my grandmother singing that song in church. And I would go to the little country church in Chilton, Texas, where my ancestors had been for many generations, and I would sit on the second row from the front on the left-hand side. That was the Featherston pew. And my grandfather sat on the aisle, and I would sit next to him, and my grandmother would sit on the other side. My grandfather had a beautiful, booming bass voice. My grandmother could not carry a tune in a bucket. But she sang with great enthusiasm. And I can hear my grandmother's voice singing the chorus of the song. And these were the words. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. Here's my grandmother. Watching you. Watching you, there's an all-seeing eye watching you. If you think that wasn't stuff of a little boy's nightmares, oh my gosh. I had nightmares throughout my childhood looking for the all-seeing eye watching me. But you know what I've learned, what helped me get past that, is that I can pretty much gauge my connection to God and what level it's on by whether or not the thought of his constantly watching me comforts me or gives me the creeps.
Right. Yep. Right.
That's a real good filter to help me to decide where God and I are at any given time.
Yeah.
God knows.
Yeah.
God knows everything I'm feeling. Now, swallow this one. God knows everything I'm thinking.
What?
And
what?
To...
Oh, no.
I know. To try to sugarcoat our prayer is spiritual stupidity.
Come on.
That's right.
I remember in one of the earliest meetings that I attended in Narcotics Anonymous, my original home group that God used to save my life was the Arlington group of Narcotics Anonymous. And I was sitting in one of those meetings that the NA hall there was an old beat up electrical supply warehouse that they had put a bunch of folding chairs in. And I was sitting in a meeting and one of the guys came in and he was really angry. He said, "I've just got to tell you, you want to know how I am? I'm pissed. I'm pissed at God. I'm really angry with God. I don't think he's come through for me. I think he's allowed things he never should have allowed to happen to me. I don't like how he's dealing with the people I love. I'm just pissed at God." And then he said, "I feel like I ought to talk to him about that, but you don't dare talk to God like that." And one of the old-timers just jumped right in and cross-talked. One of the old-timers jumped in and said, "Shh, lower your voice, and maybe he won't know."
Yeah.
"Lower your voice, and we'll keep that our little secret." That you're pissed at God. Are you angry with God? Well, for heaven's sakes, tell him. You think he can't handle that?
Amen.
You think he doesn't already know that?
Right.
"God, I resent what you've done with my life. Someone that I love is hurting. A loved one has died. I lost my job and it was not my fault. And where are you taking care of these things for me? Do you feel that he should have been there and wasn't? Whatever it is, please give him the respect of just being honest with him."
Yeah, talk to him, baby. Come on.
He can take whatever you're bringing. And like he doesn't know it.
Already.
Because there's an awesome. I'm sorry. I love the prayers of Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah was a boy who knew how to pray unhappy prayers.
And then,
sir. Oh, the prophet Jeremiah said, and I quote his prayer, "Oh Lord, you deceived me. You overpowered me and let my enemies prevail." What's he saying? God, you tricked me. To say the least. God did not trick Jeremiah, but that's how Jeremiah felt.
Right.
And he came to God honestly.
Amen.
And God honored Jeremiah and kept his prayers recorded for us for all time. You know, a whole lot better man than anybody in this room looked up to heaven and screamed a prayer that wasn't pretty.
Amen. Right?
Yep. He looked up toward his father and screamed, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Yeah.
Do you think that God had forsaken his son hanging on that cross that day? Of course not. But that's how it felt.
Yeah.
That's how felt to Jesus at that moment. And he knew that his father was big enough to handle it.
Yeah.
So write this. God is big enough to handle our confusion. And he's powerful enough to answer it.
Amen.
Pray constantly. Pray honestly, and then keep writing. Pray passionately. In James 5, in the text that we started the lesson with, James says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. He said, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. It's a lot of different words. The Hebrew language, as did the Greek language, in which most of Scripture was written with one of the two, had a lot better vocabularies than English does. Our word prayer in Hebrew, there was a whole bunch of different words to describe what kind of prayer. The prayer in that verse in James, in my New International Version, which is what most of us have in our laps, is translated supplication. 17 times in the New Testament, you'll find that word describing prayer. 17 times. And each time, what it literally means is pray with frantic desperation.
Right?
Yeah. In Exodus 22, it was the word used in Scripture in the phrase, the children of Israel cried out. Same word that James used. In Psalms 18, David used that same word when he said, in my distress, I cried to the Lord. Hebrew writer used the same word in Hebrews 5 when he said, Jesus prayed with loud cries and tears. You know, I think James said it best. He says, you don't have? It's because you don't ask. People of God, if you want to rise, get after it with God. Get real with God. Get consistently with God.
Come on.
And pray with passion. Jesus prayed that kind of prayer, didn't he?
Sweat and blood. Yeah.
And so did Paul and Moses and David and Jeremiah and Ruth and Esther and Deborah and Mary. If God will just raise up a handful of constant, passionate, honest prayer warriors,
Amen.
The whole world will be changed Amen. By that handful.
Amen.
That's how the world is changed. If the band would like to come back up. That's how the world is changed. That's how weak people become strong. That's how sinful people get forgiven. That's how heaven connects to earth. And earth connects back to heaven.
Amen.
We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we repent. We're so sorry for our prayerlessness. Our Creator, the God of the universe, threw open the door and said, let me hear all of it, bring it all to me, and we'll deal with it together. And we don't. Father, please forgive our prayerlessness. Father, raise up among us a powerful people of prayer. Raise up prayer warriors. Father, a handful of faithful prayer warriors can change the whole world. And Father, we're asking you to choose us.